The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 14th day of October 2022. And tonight we have, well, they're on the board, Stallworth, always ready to stand fast as he's our engineer and programmer, and to defend our honor and integrity, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
There he is. And now, live in the studio here, well, almost live, we got Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone, and happy birthday to my wife of 30 years. Happy birthday, Barb.
All righty. Her and I are the same age now, huh?
She's 1 year younger.
If she's listening, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, huh? I'm in trouble too.
I know. But she's a sweetheart.
Oh, she is.
You did like I did. You married up.
Yes, I did, yeah.
All right.
Very blessed.
Yep. I hope she heard that, right?
Okay. I think it made up for it.
All right. Who, another fellow that married up is none other than the chaplain and co-founder of Cops for Christ International, John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners.
All right. And our special guest tonight, Ohio gubernatorial candidate, Marshall Usher.
Good evening, everyone. I feel like I'm in good company. I can also say that I've married up. So.
All right. Yeah.
Appreciate you having me.
Yep. We're smarter than we look, aren't we? All right. Very
exactly
good.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Listen, we got a lot. We're going to get right into it tonight. Marshall, we always do the Bible study first. And you can go right with us anytime you have a question or a comment. Just jump right in here as we go through the Bible study. The title of the message was The Devil's Diary. The Devil's Diary. And we're finishing it up tonight. And all through the scripture we went through, if the devil kept a diary, would this be in? No, we actually took quotes of Satan from the scripture, things he said throughout the Bible, what he was going to do, and so on and so forth. And so we're going to finish tonight, and we're going to start with, Rod, you read verses 7. Now, this is Revelation 20. Verse 7 through 15. You read verses 7 through 10. And John, if you would pick it up in verse 11 through 15. So go ahead.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil and that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
All right, so we say, and when the 1,000 years were up, or expired, Satan gets loosed out of his prison. And then he goes out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth. Now here, Gog and Magog, he gathers Gog and Magog together. Now, Gog and Magog, Gog is Satan's army. That's Satan's army. Magog is the army of the beast. And so, the army of the beast, what do you think they consist of, John? The army of the beast are, well, the answer is really, if we turn back to chapter 19 and read verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And so here, so we know that the armies of the beast are the unsaved. Would you say that the armies of the beast, would you put in that category Joe Biden? Would you put?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. No doubt about it.
Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They'd be leading the army. They'd be up front.
Chuckie Schumer?
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi? So these are the people that are in the armies of the beast. But now, the army of Satan is made up a little bit differently. And the army of Satan would be consist of who? It's fallen angels. Fallen angels. That's what. So you've got the two forces. And how many were of those fallen angels were there? Well, there was one third of those that were kicked out of heaven, but there was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them, right? And so,
huge number.
Yeah. So here now he gathers them up. They're as the number of the sand of the sea. And he gathers their forces together to come to fight against us, against the saints. And so here, and then we see again, this is the last time. And he said, he goes on to say, and then what happens? Well, the beast and his armies were captured. And they were thrown right into the lake of fire, going back to verse 19. But then Satan and fire comes down, fire and brimstone comes down, and devours the army of Satan. And then the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so, this here is it is written, Ken. The only chance that Satan could possibly have to avoid this would be breaking Scripture. But once it is written, can it ever be broken?
Absolutely not, Pastor Ernie. The word of God cannot be broken.
It cannot be broken. So here now, what do you think Satan may say? He did 1,000 years. You know, I was in a prison ministry for 45 years. And, you know, the inmates would say if they did a five-year stretch, they'd say, I just did a nickel, okay? Or if they did 25 years, I did two dimes and a nickel. I wonder what they would call a 1,000-year stretch. Maybe a mill for millennium? I don't know. But here, And so he said, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. John, it says the earth and the heaven fled away. So is this earth going to last the way it is forever?
Oh, no. The Bible says it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Okay, so we have that several places in the Bible promises that, huh? So here is...
Yeah, Peter. Second Peter talks about it, and then, of course, the book of Revelation talks about it.
All right, so then he goes on to say, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. When it says the books were opened, how many, other than the books of the Bible, okay, in Scripture, I'm not talking about the 66 books, I'm talking about the other books that are mentioned in the Bible. You've got the Book of Remembrance, you've got the Book of Life, the Book of, well, they got the Lamb's Book of Life, you got the Book of the Living, you got the Book of War, you got the Book of the Law. So you got seven different books written besides the 66 books that the Bible speaks of, don't you? And so it says those books were opened. And here, which is, he goes and he says this, that another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their words. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So how did death and hell give them up? What is death and hell?
Well, hell is a like a holding, it's like a holding prison, Pastor Ernie, until the final judgment, which is the Great White Throne Judgment. And we commonly use hell as like thinking it's eternal, but it's not. There's the White Throne Judgment, and then after that, is the Bible calls it the Lake of Fire, and that is the final place of those that have died in their sin.
So, the actual term for hell is really a state of being. A state of being. When people say they were cast into hell, it's a state of being in torment. And so here, it's different. It's not a physical place like the Lake of Fire, which is made of sulfur, fire, and brimstone. And so that the state of being in torment is being in hell. And so here now, but death now, when it says death gave them up, okay, so the people, this thing called death was what? It's separation from God, isn't it? And so that's what he's referring to. So death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's the way it's going to end, is it not?
Yes. Yes. That's the end of the rebellion against God.
And so have you ever heard the term, well, it is what it is, right? I mean, how many times have you heard people say, it is what it is, right? Well, I'm going to be preaching on that, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes it up. It is what it is, because it is what it is doesn't have to be. You know, and so we're going to take a look at that. How horrible is the lake of fire, John?
Well, we can only surmise it, Pastor Ernie, but the believers live an eternal life with a body that never dies, it never gets sick, it never disease or anything like that. But in the lake of fire, I view it as like kind of perpetually dying but never dying, and then you're in the torment of the fire. Lake, that's what it's called, the lake of fire. So it's perpetual, and they never die, Pastor.
And so what about this doctrine of annihilation? You hear people, they base that entire doctrine on two verses out of Scripture, one out of Ezekiel 28, verse 19, where it says that the Lord says he's going to start a fire, kindle a fire from inside of Satan and devour him from within, and he'll be no more. But does that mean, do people and demons and fallen angels, do they go out of existence or do they just change form and real estate?
No, they're eternal, Pastor Ernie. They're eternal beings. And that verse to me, it's like they'll be separated from the presence of God forever.
Well, when you look at that, what he's telling them here, if you read the previous verses, that he's no longer going to have the power, that God's going to remove the power away from him.
Right.
So
right.
He's not going to be the same. In other words, when it says he'll be no more, but like the Seventh-day Adventists and others, they build an entire doctrine on that. And one other verse where it talks about as the fat of the lamb is burnt and turns into smoke, and but it does not mean that they're going out of existence. It means they're not going; they're changing shape, form, and real estate, huh? Let's go back to verse. Let's go back to verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. So the camp, who's in the beloved city? The beloved city is what?
Jerusalem.
The New Jerusalem. It's the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And the saints dwell there. Who are the saints that dwell there?
The believers in the Lord, Pastor Ernie, that have eternal life with Jesus Christ.
Now, you have four categories of those saints that dwell there, okay? The first category are angels, God's angels. The second category are the Old Testament saints, then the New Testament saints, and then the tribulation saints. So they're gathered there at the New Jerusalem. So Satan comes up, and the beast comes up with their armies, and they're going to declare war. Now, we've already been in one battle with them already, okay? But this is the final battle. This is the final battle because here, I mean, if we go over to verse 19 and we read verse 11, chapter 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him called Faithful and True, and Righteous doth judge and make war. And his eyes were like the flame of fire. And well, anyhow, he goes on to say, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we see them leaving heaven here, and we see them arriving in Zechariah chapter 14, don't we? Back where the armies of heaven with the Lord Jesus mix it up with Satan and his armies there. At that time, and then after that, Satan gets cast into that lake of fire. But if we go over to, and maybe I can get there real fast. If we go over to Zechariah chapter 14, and then verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations in whom he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cling in the midst of it there toward the east and toward the west. And you and I both have been to the Mount of Olives. It goes almost straight up, don't it?
Yeah, I was shocked, Pastor Ernie, how big and rugged the Mount of Olives is. I remember seeing it the first time. I was truly amazed at it.
You and I won't be climbing it much anymore, will we? Okay. Okay, here you go. And he says, and there shall be a great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee as you did flee in the... Now, when he says as he did in the day of battle, remember, in the day of battle is referring to when he took Israel out of Egypt and he fought against the Pharaoh's armies. And what did he do with the Red Sea? He parted the Red Sea to the north and the south, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And so here now, we see those fleeing coming out, Israel, one-third. We know it's one-third because if we go back to Zechariah 13, we read verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, that is thy Lord my God. So this is true Israel, the one-third, okay, the remnant that received Christ as their Savior, Israel. And then it goes on, as the armies of the world are chasing, going through Jerusalem, and they're chasing the remnant. And just as they get to the Mount of Olives, the Lord's standing there. He divides the Mount of Olives. And when the armies of the world, and let me read verse 5, and they shall flee into the valley of the mountains, for the valley of mountains shall reach into Israel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord thy God shall come, and all of his saints with thee. Okay, so here we see him leaving in Revelation 19, heading towards the earth. Here he's arriving with all of the saints, and they're coming to do battle with the armies of the world. This doesn't go good for the armies of the world, does it?
No, Pastor Ernie. It's not really that much of a battle. I mean, the Lord speaks the word, and he's manifesting his glory, and that really ends it.
Now, remember when you and I had our battle with the War College and with the Admiral?
Because
they claim, because of these passages of Scripture, Christians should not serve in the military, because our allegiance was to Christ and not to the United Nations. And this is the War College that John and I got into it with. Oh, what was his name? The Admiral.
Mullins,
yeah. Admiral Mullins, remember? He's the one that court-martialed Chaps, our good friend Chaps. And so...
He was a chaplain, and he was praying in the name of Jesus, and they wouldn't tolerate it.
Gordon Klingensmith, yeah, Chaplain Gordon Klingensmith, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't tolerate it, and they said he could not pray in the name of Jesus because he was in the military. You know, this was our so-called military.
How long ago was that?
John, you're probably better at remembering how long ago it was.
Wow, you know, I'm going to say the late 90s, Pastor Ernie, and around there, the early 2000s.
Probably, yeah, okay. About that time, yeah.
Well, what happened is we should give the follow-up of that, Pastor Ernie. There was a very big outcry by the public for Gordon...
Klingensmith, chaplain.
And a law was passed saying that everybody had a free conscience there as chaplains, so they were free to pray in the name of Jesus, but he was court-martialed and thrown out of the military.
Yeah, because Obama, they said that he went right in front of the White House and prayed in the name of Jesus, and that's why. But now, because of that, because of what he did, there were congressional hearings, and yes. Congress passed legislation saying you can no longer do that. You can no longer do that. What they did, it just, I'm going to tell you, it just our Pentagon had became so corrupt.
Yeah.
Like everything else. Well, anyhow, we're coming up to a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Ohio congressional gubernatorial candidate Marshall Usher. Be right back.
Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land. Letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore. Rout all those traitors right out of our system. Second American Revolution today.
All right, we're back now. Okay, I've got an announcement. You ready for the announcement? All right. This guy, Pastor Ernie Sanders, is going to be speaking, Lord's willing.
Can barely hear me.
Are you full? Okay. This guy, Pastor Ernie Sanders, that's me. Can you hear me now? He's going to be speaking at the Ohio Freedom Fighters. That's the Ohio Freedom Fighters at 7 p.m. And that is going to be on Wednesday, October 19th. And the address is 7291 Stone Road, Medina, Ohio. Now, my old buddy, Pastor Walter Moss, Pastor Moss is... Pastor, you got to get out there and get him excited. You got to go out there and make him excited. So he's going to send me out there. So folks out there, Medina, I'm coming out there to get you all excited about, well, especially about going to the polls. And anyhow, if Merrick Garland sends his dirty 30 FBI agents out there, then right here, Ron Ritz is going to stand there and take him on, right?
I'll meet him at the door.
All right, there you go. All right, now let's go. After that, we want to introduce our guest. Marshall, are you there?
I am.
All right. Now, you are running for governor, but you're a write-in on the ballot. Tell us about that Democratic opponent. She has got an extremely evil voting record, does she not?
She does. Evil is a great word for it.
I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, where to start with her, right? I mean, if you look at her support of abortion up until the day before birth, I think evil is probably the only word that you can use to describe that. Let alone the policies that she's put in place that had run her former city into the ground. It's one of the most dangerous cities in the state and in the country. And I think you can thank the Democratic policies that she put in place specifically for that.
Well, here, look. Now, think about this for a minute. If you wanted to be known for something, okay, if I wanted to be known for something, say, on my gravestone, I would say, he loved the Lord with all of his heart, or even have those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. If this ministry wants to be known for something, and that would be that we never compromised. We stood against the darkness. We stood against the evil. For 50 years, We never stood down. Not one time did we ever stand down. No matter what they did, no matter what they threw at us, we just kept going right at them. And here now, the Democratic Party wants to be known for killing babies. That's what their platform is. That is their number one goal. That is the number one issue that they want to run on, killing babies. Do you understand how wicked and evil that is?
It absolutely is. And, you know, whenever you talk about never compromising, I think that's something that we absolutely cannot compromise on. And, you know, let's give kudos to all of the warriors that came before us fighting to overturn Roe versus Wade. And, you know, thank God that has come to fruition. But, you know, to turn abortion into the key issue of the election just shows how out of touch they are with real Americans. First off, you know, most Americans that I know don't support abortion at all, let alone, you know, in the second and third trimesters. You know, most Americans I know are more worried about things like the economy and the violence on the streets than, you know, abortions. You know, I think that, and then they always try to throw up the, you know, the fact that, you know, the what's the card around, you know, the life of the mother and rape and incest. And, you know, I always say that if we can agree first that, you know, the 97% of abortions for convenience need to be outlawed, then, you know, let's have a conversation around the rest. But, you know, we can never really seem to get over that first hump of
well, see, that conversation's already been had, okay? And God has ruled upon that. God has ruled upon that. And here's the ruling. The ruling is the child in the womb does not belong to you. God placed it in your care, and he expects you, he has expectations of you to take that child that belongs to him, to take care of that child, the very best care that you can of that child. That's what God has said. Now, these people, when they talk about life of the mother, you know what? You can't go back. You can't go back 20 years and find me more than one case of that. It's just, and besides that, like I said, God has ruled on that. That does not happen. This is just more propaganda from a liberal, lying, wicked, evil left. And so
those are red herrings that they use to try and distort the conversation.
They were trying to use this situation for this 10-year-old girl here in Ohio that got pregnant. First of all, look, I want you to think about something. The lying liberal left, and, you know, God's word in the Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. But they really, if they really understood just how horrible that is, I think they would be repenting. But they don't. Their eyes and their minds have been blinded to the gospel. And but here, the Bible teaches very, very clearly that that child is an individual person. When they say this, my body, it's my body. It's not your body. I exactly. Listen, ask yourself, are you part of your mother's body? I'm not part of my mother's body, right? She had hers and I have mine, right?
Yep.
This is just absolute lunacy. And when one time I debated on television a woman that ran a bloody abortion mill, and the question was, is the child alive? And the opposition said it's not. I said, well, let me ask you this question then. If the child is not alive, then why do you have to kill it? Why can't you just leave it be? If it's not alive, just leave it be. And there you go, just the dumb look, the dumb expression on their face, right?
But exactly right.
Anyhow, so not only that, but now, isn't she... She is very LGBTQ. That's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer. Isn't she not?
She very much is. And I'm sure you've been following the latest with the State Board of Elections and the resolution from Representative Shea.
No, tell me about it. I know it's got to be bad, but go ahead.
Yeah, so there was a resolution that was put in front of the Board of Election and voted on Wednesday by Brendan Shea. And basically, the resolution called for the State Board of Education to and I quote, support parents, schools, and districts in rejecting harmful, coercive, and burdensome gender identity policies.
Oh, good.
Male and female are identified by XY and XX chromosomes. We believe that we should use biological name and sex. They should use the facilities and play sports based on biological sex, and parental notification for any mental health issues should be required. And it was voted to move to committee 12-7, with a majority of those 12 coming from Governor DeWine appointees. You can talk about how Governor DeWine is, you know, supposedly a conservative, but, you know, his appointees certainly haven't been acting like that.
Well, he and I go back about 45 years. I've known him years ago. We were very good friends, but he changed, and I got a feeling, you know, I know exactly what it was, what happened with that. But he was back then all pro-life, but then he did some things like appointing Amy Acton. That's the enemy in the camp. That's like appointing Margaret Sanger. Okay. What made him compromise? What compromised him? That's the question. I got an idea. I know what. But anyhow,
that'd be a great question. And actually, the one time I had an opportunity to speak in the same location with Governor DeWine was in Scioto County in front of their central committee, and I was speaking as a surrogate on behalf of Joe Blystone, and Governor DeWine was there representing himself. We gave our spiel, and then they asked us to come up for questions at the end. And someone asked Governor DeWine a question about his pro-life stance, and he started going down the path of him being the most pro-life governor that the state has ever seen. And that was just a bridge too far. And I politely interrupted and said, Governor, with all due respect, I don't see how you can say that and then turn right around and appoint someone like Amy Acton as head of our health department. And you would have thought that, you know, that the roof had come off the place. I mean, his handlers jumped up in front of the crowd, shuffled him out from the front, screaming, you know, we didn't agree to a debate, and that was pretty much the end of the Q&A. So he doesn't want to touch those questions around Amy Acton or, you know, the fact that he has not really stood by the pro-life agenda.
Well, you know, I can tell you this. Years ago, we had a video that we would show, and the video was made up of people, of these women that were former Planned Parenthood, that came out of Planned Parenthood, and NARAL. And these women that had worked there and had converted over to pro-life, and they told us how they had workshops, and in their workshops, how they were trained how to get to blackmail a politician. And what they would do is they would get the prettiest of them, they would seduce them, they would get them into a motel room, and in that motel room there would be wash rags with monikers, with whatever they had with the initials of that hotel, the name of that hotel on it, even just some of the little tablets that they leave in their stationery, or towels or ashtrays, and they would take those, and then when they needed legislation passed, they would send that with a letter, remember this night at this place at this time, and it will be kept quiet as long as you vote this way, and here's how you're going to vote. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened to Mike, but I know what they do. Now, other times, what they'll do too is they'll actually threaten your family. They threaten your family. I know one politician, I don't want to mention his name now because he's gone, but and his family's still out there. But he was just at a dinner, at one of the political events. He didn't realize that he was in the midst of the enemy, the opposition. While he's sitting there, they had one of these big-busted woman come up behind him, bare-breasted, and they laid her breasts on his shoulders, and they got pictures of all of that. And that's what they use to blackmail them. But they do things, or they'll threaten your children, or relatives. So that's what the opposition. The Democratic Party is corrupt, completely and totally corrupt. There's nothing about it that's not corrupt.
Yeah, but when people say that we're in a battle of good versus evil, I believe that in my heart of heart to be true. You know, the honeypot scheme is as old as the day is long. You know, but you know, there is an acronym that folks in those circles use that explains how they can turn people. And it's called MICER, MICER. It stands for money, ideology, compromat, ego, or revenge. And if you can pick up, you know, one or two of those on someone, then, you know, that's how you turn them into an asset. But once you know the playbook, you know kind of what to look for. And I'm not in this for money. My ideology is very clear. You're not going to get any pictures of me. And, you know, there's no one I'm out to get, and this isn't about me. So, you know, I'm not really worried about that kind of stuff. And let's just say that if someone feels that they need to threaten, well, that's probably not going to work out too well for them either.
All righty. So how can the folks out there, you want to get your message out. So one, when it comes to abortion, you're adamantly pro-life. Now here's the stand. I've been on the board. I was on the board of Ohio Right to Life back when they were Ohio Right to Life. In fact, I was there in the very beginning when we made our mission statements with Dr. Jack Wilkie and Linda Tice and the others back in the very beginning. You know Linda. She's probably told you. And so here we have our position now with Ohio Pro-Life Action because, you know, Ohio Right to Life get infiltrated. They betrayed us. They went against us. And so now here in Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee, our policy is this. We're against abortion, period, with no life of the mother, no nothing. It's just wrong, period. Okay. So when we endorse a candidate, and you came to us too late. You came to us too late. We didn't know about you. But when we endorse a candidate, it's with no exceptions. It's without any exceptions. Because that's what God's Word, the Bible, gives us. No exceptions, period. And so are you good with that?
So I will say that I do believe in an exception for the life of the mother. And here is why. I also believe that there is a God-given right of self-defense, and whether that, you know, that risk or that threat is coming from, you know, an 18-year-old, you know, we know that age doesn't matter in between the pre-born and the post-born. So I think that there is a you know, right of self-defense that comes in for the life of the mother. But outside of that, then I am good with that because I do believe that, you know, in cases of rape and incest, that, you know, abortion is wrong. And, you know, that is a very hard position for some people to swallow. But I'll tell you that going around the state with, you know, Joe Blystone and meeting a lot of folks, I've met a handful of people that were, you know, babies that were the product of rapes and their mothers chose not to give them up. And, you know, they are amazing people doing amazing things, helping people all over the state. And, you know, whenever you just step back and you look at, you know, the beauty of these folks' lives and the goodness that they've brought to everyone around them, and you look at, you know, God's word on, you know, on abortion, you know, I think that I have no problem standing, you know, standing with that position. But I do believe that there is a right of self-defense that comes into play when it comes to the life of the mother.
Well, if you call that self-defense, I'd have a problem with that term. But anyhow, we at one time some years ago we sent out a list. John, you remember this? We sent out a list in the newsletter of people that were products of rape. I think Mean Joe Green was one. If I remember right, there were a number of very famous people, well-known people that were products of rape, and. And so,
yeah, it's not even the well-known people. I mean, these are just regular people that we've met that are, you know, just like I said, you know, some dedicating their lives to the pro-life cause. Others, you know, have just become really good human beings and members of society. And, you know, I just couldn't, as a governor, there's just no way that I could say that, you know, it's okay to end those lives.
Well, you know, your Democratic opponent, she's all in favor of mutilating these children, this whole transgender where they cut the breasts off of young girls. Now let me, just like these young girls, you know, these young girls that kill their babies by abortion, Do you know that their suicide rate is 7 times that of those that don't? The contemporaries?
I do.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
And so when they talk about this 10-year-old girl from Ohio, how do you think that would have affected her, knowing that that little baby in her that she could have given life to, they killed? How's that going to affect her later on?
That's right.
Okay.
There's a lot of questions that, you know, they conveniently don't answer whenever they talk about how easy it is to make that decision.
Well, God's word has made that if you trust God and what he has said in his word, those decisions have been made. And, you know, when you hear these women say, it's my choice, it's my body, God says that's a lie. God says that's a lie. God says you belong to him. It's his choice, and he's already ruled on that. And for you to say what you're saying, you're calling God a liar. Is that smart?
Not being smart at all.
So, let me ask you a question. I just preached to you the truth right from the Word of God. What do you think the country would be like if all of the pastors in the pulpit around this country had the guts to preach the truth just right from the Bible?
Man, what a wonderful world we would live in. You know, I think that's one of the biggest issues is that, you know, pastors are afraid to preach the truth, and there aren't enough of them standing up and doing that. And if you look at the root cause of a lot of the ills of our society, it has to do with the breakdown of the nuclear family. And, you know, one of the things that keeps the nuclear family together is faith in God and the support of the church community. So I think that it would be a great country to live in if more preachers would stand up and preach the truth.
Amen. Let me tell you, you know, John McTiernan, I thought I'd hear from you on that one. Did John fall asleep?
Can you hear me, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm agreeing with you, and so everything is going, I mean, it's a great interview, Pastor Ernie. Just smooth. Very good.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, if the pastors only had the courage, if they only had the courage to be bold, if they would, this country would not be in this shape.
When you talk about the pastors being bold, I always go back to Charles Finney, the great evangelist in the 1800s, and what he said about the condition of the country and the condition of the pulpits. And he laid it, the condition of the country went right back to the pulpits.
Absolutely. He was spot on, too, wasn't he?
It's absolutely true. You know, the politics kind of reflects the spiritual state of the country.
Well, here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think politics is a lagging indicator of the spiritual health of the country. I mean, if you just look at, you know, the corruption and the mismanagement in politics, you know, we've seen that coming a long time in our society. So I think that, you know, the political arena is that lagging indicator.
Amazing. I mean, our country is in such reprobate. It's been reduced to such a reprobate state. And but that doesn't have to be. That could be changed. It doesn't have to, you know, like we said, it is what it is. It doesn't have to be what it is. I'm looking right here. This is an article here by Jim Hoft, and it says, transphobic policy. Biden regime still requires all trans women to register for a draft as men, but trans men are exempt. So here now, you have these four in military uniforms, in the Army uniforms, and these are men who think they're women, and they're wearing dresses. They're wearing dresses, and I'm prettier than these here. And here, it's an amazing thing that, now, what happened to this equality? You see, if you are a man who thinks you're a woman, then you still have to register. But if you're a woman that thinks that you're a man, you don't have to register for the draft. What do you think that's all about?
I honestly have to tell you, I can't waste much time trying to figure that out. I mean, it is that much lunacy that, you know, in my eyes, the way I see this at 30,000 feet is, you know, every institution that has made us proud to be Americans growing up has been under attack for decades. And, you know, whether it is the military, higher education, our court system, I mean, you name it, our police, our first responders, everything that has made us proud to be Americans, that made us who we are, has been under attack and systemically dismantled by the left. So the fact that they are going after the military in terms of, you know, gender identity, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it's one of the reasons that we're all here, right, is that whenever you see something happening, you have two choices. You can either stand up and do something about it, or you can sit back and be quiet and perpetuate the problem. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I jumped into this thing was, you know, I looked at how Mike DeWine has led over the last few years, whether it was, you know, running to the left whenever after the shootings, and he pushed the red flag laws, to how he managed through the pandemic, through HB6, and, you know, the $3 billion in unemployment funds misspent. I mean, you name it. Any one of those independently could be anyone's red line. But, you know, whenever you look at that collectively, there's just no way that I could stand up and cast a vote for my abuser. And we also talked about how, you know, I'm not going to support the lunacy policies of the left. So at that point, here we are. You know, you can either stand up and do something about it, or you can sit back and perpetuate the problem. And I was done perpetuating the problem.
All right. How can the folks out there help you?
There's a couple ways. I would say go to usherforohio.com and, you know, check me out. Check out the platform. And if you think it's something that you can get behind, then, you know, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, just spread the word. We don't have the money that, you know, the other candidates have. So the only way that we can get this done is through word of mouth. And we're going to be, you know, working our tails off through Election Day, trying to get out there and talk to as many people as we can. We've got a couple events lined up for tomorrow. But go to the website, sign up to volunteer. We've got a really robust volunteer structure in place that, you know, has us doing phone calls, emails, text messages. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes getting the word out. But we could always use more voices.
Okay, let me. Believe it or not, a lot of people, young people like you, don't realize that there's a lot of old people like me that aren't even up on the internet. Okay, is there a phone number where the older folks can call and say, "Look, how can I get involved?"
So that is a great question. There is actually. Bear with one second. Let me get that for you. It is 614-918-8322.
Okay.
And that's 614-918-8322.
614-918-8322. We're coming up to a break here in a minute. When we come back from the break, very quickly, I want you to tell the folks out there where you're going to be coming up. Announce, you know, within the next few days or the next week, wherever. And then we have to go into lightning rounds, and you're welcome to stay here with us and do the lightning rounds if you'd like. But so hang tight. We're coming up to a fast break. Just stay there, and when we come back, let the folks know where you'll be speaking so we can turn you out of crowd. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Be back right after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.